Thank the Lord. This morning, we all have to follow our spirit. It's very difficult to follow the schedule. We're almost supposed to end, and I have not even started. So our schedule is really for our reference. But we're probably going to end around 12:30. We will see. The brother said they will give me 70 minutes, but anyhow, I need to just share my burden. I entered into this message and I was very enlightened. This hymn, 319, says that we are like a wanderer on the earth. We need to come back and stop wandering. Stop our wandering heart, and we need to be bound to the Lord in this message. There is some difficult points. Says we need to experience and enjoy, but we also have to express Christ. So there are two verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. So that you may be established, you may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. What is the reason? It doesn't say what the reason is for this verse. We're not very clear. What does it mean that we establish our heart blameless in holiness? Is it to strengthen our heart? But actually, when we see this, in Thessalonians 3:13, it says, so that we, our heart, we, oh, we may be established. Actually, it says your heart with all the saints to be established in holiness before our God so that we are blameless. So the goal is that our heart will not be blameable. This is really for the coming of the Lord. This Bible in our hand needs to be known very well. There are three ones. Three words that begins with letter E. First is that there is enjoyment, experience, and expressing. We use 3.5 years to get into this matter of enjoying, experiencing, and expressing Christ. If we are enjoying the reality of Christ's riches, then we have three eyes. First is incarnation. The second is inclusion. The third is intensification. We have to be intensified in our experience. So this is something that all these three eyes are to be handled together, to be understood and realized together. In the past, when I read the Bible, when I read about these, I feel like I was not into this kind of depth, but this time it is deeper. in the beginning, the first mentioning that we would be blameless. Some message 355, the conclusion, 361, the conclusion of the New Testament, message 359, 361, it says, Christ, the coming Christ is establishing our heart blameless for his coming. Our heart needs to be established by turning to the Lord. This is this coming Christ's work. His Spirit is coming, and he is coming to us to work on our heart. What kind of Christ? This is the Christ who had incarnated. He's not just the incarnated Christ. He's not just the crucified and resurrected Christ. He is the coming Christ in his spirit. We don't have that much experience of the coming Christ. It's because of that we need to be established so that in holiness we are blameless. In this way, we wait for the Lord's coming. In the church life, we are sanctified, set apart, and established. So that we are set apart. This coming Christ, so that he can work on our heart. Our God is a holy God. We also have to be holy. That's why this coming Christ is separating us. He's sanctifying us. He needs to give us more of his presence. He needs to transform our heart. When we talk about sanctification, in the Old Testament, sanctification was a requirement. A book. Verse 41, verse 45. It talks about how we become sanctified, become holy, so that you yourself have to be sanctified. Sanctify yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am Jehovah your God. This is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. If you are trying to be holy by yourself, how are you going to do that? Being holy is to be God. So God has to expose us using the Old Testament to show us. Not only that we're not sanctified, we're also full of sin and dirt. The Lord wants us to be blameless, sinless. But this is not sinless perfection. Actually, it is not sinless perfection. it is, it's fully becoming God, fully sanctified. This kind of separation, setting apart, is holiness, which is impossible to us. We have no ability to do that. But we have to be established. To be blameless, this is a mission impossible. But what is absolutely impossible to man is absolutely possible to God. You don't actually have to exert your effort because the Lord is able to do that. You can be before the Lord. You deal with this matter and that matter. But the more you look at the matter and so-called dealing with it, the more you find yourself unable to do this. It is very tiring. But we need to just live before the Lord. Live in with the Christ who is in your spirit. Even many times we don't find ourselves desirous to become God, but he has this in his heart. He wants to do it. We don't have a heart to do it, but he wants to do it. He wants to set us apart for him. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to make us holy. Another verse I want to point out is 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. It is he himself, God of peace himself, who wants to sanctify you. We cannot do it, but he himself wants to do this, to sanctify us wholly. We cannot set us apart. We cannot sanctify ourselves. But today, because of the God who loves us and the coming Christ, before his coming, he himself wants to sanctify us. We, the children of God, if we don't live a holy life, how can he come back? So we have to prostrate ourselves before the Lord and allow him to fill us and possess our whole being. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and your and soul and body be preserved complete at the without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is without blame. Preserved complete. If we can be preserved complete, we're pretty happy, but even without blame, this is another step further. Your spirit and soul and body be preserved. He himself is doing this work. If we are being kept, because it's because God is keeping us. He keeps us away from the lust of the flesh, from sin and all kinds of things. So it's not us taking the initiation, but we are actually the passive one where God is doing this work. But we have our part of taking the initiation to be one with the Lord, be one with this coming Christ. We have to touch his heart. He has already spent 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years, and he has not come back. So we have to take the initiation to be one with him. We have this opportunity. Now, it's not that we don't love the Lord. I'm sure among us many, many, many love the Lord. But many of us look at the outward situations. The reason why he still cannot come back is that he has not gained a group of sanctified ones. So faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He himself is doing it. He is taking the initiation to sanctify us. And faithful is he who will do it. We just need to simply trust in him and open to him. He will and he must continue and complete this work. He is faithful. This word in the Bible cannot be changed. He cannot come until this is done. But what will it look like when he comes back is dependent on us. In the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, it talks, Thessalonians 5:23, 24, and 3:13, it all talked about our sanctification, how we are sanctified in this economy. The holding line of sanctification. First, is seeking sanctification. We were sought by the Lord. Before we were saved, he was already touching us. You know, believing in the Lord has two sides. He wants to do this. He wants to save us. But there's also our side. So for one thread, you have to pull on both ends for the thread to be snug or tight. So there is the Lord pulling, and there is also our part of pulling. If he's only pulling and we're letting it go, then the thread cannot be straight. So in the seeking sanctification, this is the first one. The second is the redeeming sanctification. The redeeming sanctification causes us to be repentant. The moment you turn, then he positionally sanctifies us. Then we talk about the organic sanctification, the regeneration, the regenerating sanctification, the Spirit. He who is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He is doing this kind of work in our spirit. So we need him to come to us to continue this kind of work. And he needs us to continually turn to him so that he can renew us. Renew the spirit of our mind. As we turn to him, he renews us more. And then we can see his light. He can shine on us more and more. So this is the holding line. We have to hold our part, and he does his part. We need the Spirit of life to supply us, supply our mind, and transform our soul. This is the renewing sanctification, and there is the transforming sanctification. We have to be renewed. We have to be transformed. This transformation is also dependent on our heart. After following the Lord for a number of years, you will know your sense of your values and your views are changed. But if you're here, you're willing to listen to His word. That means you're willing to be transformed. The Lord, you may say that, oh, I have not been transformed enough. Well, we don't know. The Lord knows. Many times we feel like we want to, but we can't live the way of transformation. But don't worry about it. The Lord will do His part. We just need to turn our heart. He, as we turn, He is faithful to renew us and transform us, and He will mold us, conform us, so that He can conform us into His own image. He will be formed in us. He can grow in us. This kind of confirmation is to make us completely filled with Him. So, for us who love the Lord, we need to love Him with our whole strength, our whole heart, our whole mind. These are the organs to love the Lord with. How do we love Him? We love Him with our whole heart. We turn our whole heart to Him. We love Him with our whole heart. We desire His coming. We want His appearing. And we need Him to attract us with His shining every day. He said the whole heart, a whole soul. A heart includes our soul. A heart is our soul plus conscience. And He said even our whole mind. But it's because He wants to emphasize that we need our mind to be touched by the Lord. He didn't say the whole emotion, but He's also said our whole strength. With our whole heart, our whole strength, our whole soul, and our whole mind, we need to love the Lord. So that our heart can be strengthened, established, blameless, even glorified, to a point where we can be transfigured. This He is doing so that He can sanctify us all the way. Then we can be brought to His face, brought to His coming, His light. Now we're going to read Roman numeral 1. In order to live a holy life for the church life, we need the Lord to establish our heart blameless in holiness, with no fault found in our holiness. Blameless is that there is no problem. You have to pray read the word. As you pray read, you see the crystal shining, and you see how we should live a sanctified holy life. This requires us to come to the Lord every day. If we come to the Lord more, we look at the dirty things less, the filthy things less. If you look at the wrong thing, your heart will change. Brother Lee said, our heart is like a fly trap. We can stick to anything we look at. You can look at the environment, and the environment is this or that, whatever you see, you can stick to it easily. We're just like those fly traps or sticker that a fly can come and get stuck on it. And you have all kind. We have all kinds of stuff stuck on our sheets, our sticky sheets. This is like our heart. This is a pretty disgusting fly sticker. Yeah, all kinds of flies with their dirt is stuck on us. You think you can keep your heart? No, you can't do it. If someone goes out and exercise himself to be holy and to be clean, this does not work. You want to turn? I could agree with you to do all kinds of things to make yourself holy. You can go to a prayer group, you can go to a small group, any group. But as you present yourself, the Lord is able to sanctify you. Actually, when you turn with the saints, you go to the prayer meeting, the Lord will turn your heart. We all have this kind of experience. These days I was preparing for this message. I pray read these verses. And many times, as soon as I pray read, my cell phone notification came on. And it took me away. It's so easy. It's like the flies coming around. The fly trying to get stuck on my sheet. I still read, but I just can't get into it. The Lord, the enemy just is like, they are like these flies coming to disturb us. As soon as you take a look at the cell phone, your heart is gone. The enemy knows how to steal a heart. And then if you tap on your phone, even more things come out, more than you want. You think it's just a little phone. Whoa, the power of it. It's very easy for us to be distracted. So when we come to the Lord, it's not so easy to be simple. But there is a way. There is one way. That is the church life. Because all the Lord's sanctifying work is for the church life. Today, in the church life, whether it is for preaching the gospel or for edifying the saints, we are in an environment where our heart can be established. So we, before the Lord, need to take care of the church life. The sanctifying work is really for the church. He wants a corporate overcomer. In verse 13, says that we are before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So it's not just him coming, but he's coming with all his saints. All the saints from all the ages in the past. There are so many who are coming with the Lord. There is a group. He wants us to be a universal bright woman. There are those who will be raptured. They are blameless. They are coming also with the Lord. So in 1 Thessalonians, he said, actually, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, every chapter talks about the coming of Christ. We don't even feel discouraged for those who are sleeping. But to those who are left remaining, he said, we also will be raptured into the air to meet him. So we are living, who are left remaining, we will be caught up together with him. There will be still many on the earth. There are the living ones who will be taken up to meet him in the cloud. He is coming with all his saints. So we want to be those who are living and be taken up to meet him. He really wants to gain a group of people who have been called, chosen, sanctified. We cannot do it, but he can. To him, everything is possible. Our heart just needs to turn. We allow him to deal with us, allow his sanctifying work to operate within us, so that he can completely gain us, possess, and possess our whole being. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to check on my time. I need to tighten up my schedule. Point 1 to point 7. Let's read this. Or A to H. Our heart is a conglomerate of man's inward part, man's chief representative, his acting agent. The heart is the entrance and the exit. Is it here? Oh, sorry, point 1. Our heart is the composition of all the parts of our soul, the mind, the emotion, and the will, plus one part of our spirit, the conscience. Brothers, our heart is conditioned before God, organically, intrinsically, and inseparably related to the condition of our spirit, soul, and body before God. Look, A, sisters, the exercise of the spirit works only when our heart is active. If man's heart is indifferent, the spirit is imprisoned within and is unable to show forth its capability. Point B, the soul is the person himself, but the heart is a person in action. The heart is the acting agent, the acting commissioner of our entire being. C, the activities and movement of our physical body depends on our physical heart. In like manner, our daily living, the way we act and behave, depends on what kind of psychological heart we have. Point B, together. The heart is the entrance and exit of life, the switch of life. If the heart is not right, life in the spirit is hindered, and the law of life cannot work freely and without obstruction to reach every part of our being. Though life has great power, this great power is controlled by our small heart. We stop about here for now. This is a pretty crucial part. We want to experience the Lord and enjoy him in our spirit. But our heart is closed. It's obstructed. It's like the switch is not on. So if you turn off the faucet, then there's nothing that would come out. The heart within us needs to cooperate. If the heart is open, then the spirit has a way. If we want to live in our spirit and behave and work, then our inner man, which is our heart, needs to allow for it. Our inner man is at peace and ease. because of Christ. He wants to go further. So we need to focus on our heart, because the heart is the crucial switch. It is very important. If our heart is not right, then our spirit cannot come out, cannot come forth. Point C. Brothers, God is the unchanging one, but according to our natural birth, our heart is changeable, both in our relationship with others and with the Lord. Sisters D. There is no one who, according to his natural human life, is steadfast in his heart. Because our heart changes so easily, it is not at all trustworthy. Our heart is not at all trustworthy. Point E, brothers. Our heart is blamable because it is changeable. An unchanging heart is a blameless heart. F. In God's salvation, the renewing of the heart is once for all. However, in our experience, our heart is renewed continually because it is changeable. G, everybody. Because our heart is changeable, it needs to be renewed continually by the sanctifying Spirit so that our heart can be established, built up in the state of being holy, the state of being separated unto God, occupied by God, possessed by God, and saturated with God. Let's read this point again. Because our heart is changeable, it needs to be renewed continually by the sanctifying Spirit so that our heart can be established, built up in the state of being holy, the state of being separated unto God, occupied by God, possessed by God, and saturated with God. In here, point A to G, this is not to deal with our own situation, our own heart, but it's for the corporate, for the church. This is all for the church. All this work in each one of us is for the church. It's not just that we would be a spiritual person ourselves, but all of this is for the church and the church life. So our condition needs to be right in order for the church to be built up. In the message I mentioned earlier, in the conclusion of the New Testament, message 355, it says, it's from faith and love. Our hope is for the Lord to come back. But for this to happen, we need to be strengthened, established, so that we can live a sanctified life. A sanctified life is for the church life, so that our heart can be strengthened. It says, our love can be increased. All of this is for our heart to be strengthened. Our faith can be strengthened, can be sufficient. Paul said, I before the Lord pray that God would work in us the work of love. This is if this is the structure of the church life. If you want to live a sanctified life, that becomes a structure. The sanctified life that we live becomes a structure of the church life. Paul said, I need to come to you so that I can strengthen your heart. The church in Thessalonica was full of young believers, new believers. Paul labored there. He was a pattern to all of them. They because of his pattern, were strengthened. Their faith was built up. When we read the footnote, you see the kind of work he did, that his work was not, he himself was not the source. The source was from faith. The faith was not his own faith. He actually said, I have been crucified with Christ, and then it is no longer I who live, but the Christ who lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself up for me. He was joined to this Christ, and because of this joining, he had Christ as his faith. That faith was transmitted to the believers. So we need to live with the Lord who is our source. He is our source. If we're joined to him, our life will be full of faith. He does the work of faith. Christ does the work of faith within us. He enlarges our heart. Then you will begin to have the consciousness to preach the gospel, or the burden to care for others. He said our heart needs to be supplied, supplemented. The labor in love is the same. Where did that love come from? It is the love of God. We don't have that kind of love for others. Therefore, he said, our heart may be established. That establishment causes us to be blameless. It is not just a positional sanctification, but a dispositional sanctification where we are fully established, strengthened, and we are even blameless. I was reading chapter 3, verse 13, but in verse 6, he said, but Timothy, having just come to us from you and announcing the good news to us of your faith and love, and that you have kind remembrance of us always and long to see us, just as we also you. So this is the love that we hear. That his work of faith was based on the labor of love, and this love is God's love. And then in verse 10, night and day, petitioning exceedingly so that we may see your face and complete the things that are lacking in your faith. On one hand, they did have faith. But on the other hand, it was weak. So their faith, their heart, had to be strengthened and established. Verse 12, and the Lord calls you to increase and abound in love to one another, and to all, just as we also to you. In verse 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God. You see that this is really for the church life. Before he comes back, he wants to have a group of people who are perfected. And he will come with those who have been perfected together with him. My burden is to release this point that Paul had with the Thessalonians to our situation today. If we can supply Christ to others in our gospel preaching, His life will continue to flow among us. Because we love the Lord, we are joined to him. That joining gives us faith in our spirit, and it would spread even to our soul. In spirit, we are joined to the Lord. Then like every time we come to the conference, we see the saints, we thank the Lord. Lord, this is so enjoyable to be with the saints, to enjoy you together. And then you somehow the Lord gives you a burden for something. And for our gospel preaching, it's the same way. You can say, actually, this is like the vine. We need to be fruit-bearing vine branches. This is the work or the consequence of being joined to the Lord. If we're not joined to Him, there is no way we can bear fruit. How can we? But as soon as we are joined to Him, you live with Him. You allow His life to supply us, to flow in us, in you. Then fruit comes. In Greek, it's the same word for fruit bearing. Fruit bearing means fruit remaining. The fruit that we bear are fruit that remain. And, you know, it talks about our loving one another. The Lord says, the Lord prayed to the Father, you love me and I love them. And then He said that we would also love one another. This is the kind of love that we have in our labor in love. Then we have the consciousness, we need to visit the saints, we need to nourish the saints, perfect the saints, and help them. In Southern California, we had a conference and talked about nourishing. There is John 15 and John 21. You see, Peter, after the Lord resurrected, he went back to fishing. He went fishing all night, got nothing. They could recognize that by themselves, they got nothing. They couldn't do anything. The Lord actually originally told Peter that you will be a fisher of men. The Lord actually told them later to cast the net on the other side, and they got 153 fish. And the Lord said, you will gain man just like how you gain fish. And the Lord also asked him if he loved him. And Peter said, yes. And the Lord said, shepherd my sheep, feed my lamb. This is the kind of work that comes out of our labor of love. We have to love the Lord. That becomes a motivator for us to take care of, shepherd, and feed other lamb. If our heart needs to be established. How? Love the saints. Preach the gospel and go nourish them. Go shepherd them. Many times, I try to strengthen my heart, establish my own heart. It doesn't work. But if you go, as soon as you go and shepherd others, then you're strengthened. Many of us, maybe all of us, have experienced this already. My wife and I. Oh, we want to be with the saints in their home. A few weeks ago, we went to New Jersey. We live really close to New Jersey. We can go and come back within the same day. So we went and visited some saints, and we got saved. We were there. I was not focusing on my own condition or my mind, but I was together with the saints. In that situation, with the saints, don't worry about other saints, if they love the Lord or not, how much they love the Lord. But you just put yourself in a sanctified environment. Then, right there, he established our heart. When we're in that environment, he is able to establish our heart. So don't belittle the little visit you have with this saint or that. Before coming to this conference, we flew to Boston.
Austin or Boston?
Austin.
We flew to Austin. And we visited some families. There is one family that we visited. And in fact, we took hospitality with them. Those few days, I can tell you how sanctified we became. It was sanctifying to be with the saints. I was listening to a message with full of I was listening by Brother Monroe, and he was full of burden on this matter. And I entered into that experience. Oh, I was with the saints. Oh, I cannot. It was speechless. I was with the saints. You see the saints. You touch how they love one another. And I was so helped by it. The work of gospel preaching and the work of faith is the same. There is the father of a sister. He worked for the government. He retires this year. I didn't know I would run into him. Those who know, this actually happened in China. We know if you have preached the gospel in China, you're in trouble. Oh, if the Chinese police knows about it, you are in deep trouble. So, wow, I coordinated with this brother who worked for the Chinese government and to preach the gospel, and someone got baptized. My goodness. Today, this means we are baptized into one spirit. We are drinking of the same spirit, the one spirit. I talked about this brother who used to work in the Chinese police department. I was thinking, should I preach the gospel to this man? He was not a brother. Should I preach the gospel to him? I prayed in my spirit. I touched the Lord, and I felt like I need to speak this. He may never have a chance to hear the gospel. So in my spirit, I touched the feeling for this man. So I preached the gospel. He got baptized. Oh, the joy I had was unspeakable. He was glowing. He called on the Lord. I said, you are my brother. He called me a teacher. He calls my wife a teacher's wife in like the most respected form. I was like, I don't want to be called like that, but I didn't want to change to correct him or anything. It just I just thanked the Lord. So I want to tell you, preaching the gospel is just a joy. Your mind is changed, your heart is turned. When you shepherd others, you do the work of faith. It causes us to live in a sanctified life, and it gives us love for others. This way we live before the Lord and live in His shining. And we can live out the condition where His light illuminates, and then our hearts is established. We will read point 8. In order to be those who are being sanctified in living a holy life or the church life, we must cooperate with the inner operating of the one who sanctifies by dealing with our heart. The main point, actually, is that our sanctified life is lived for the church life. If you're in the church life, then you're also in the environment of being sanctified. If you want your own spirituality of being sanctified, it is very difficult. He is the operating one within us. He said, "He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one." He Himself wants to come and sanctify us all. He does it Himself. In Psalm 139, 23, and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." Our heart has different kinds of conditions. We can be soft. We're going to read point 1. God wants our heart to be soft. Sisters, point 2. God wants our heart to be pure. Point 3. God wants our heart to be loving. Point 4. God wants our heart to be at peace. Thank the Lord here. It says our heart indeed is quite hard, quite stubborn. If someone offends you, you can become even harder. We just pray the Lord would take away all those things, so that the Spirit, the work on this, of the Spirit, can put God into us and purify us. Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, a verse talks about and has not been, he talks about the heart of Moab. He's settled on his lees and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into exile. Therefore, his taste remains in him and his scent is not changed. This is like, if the liquid has been settled for a long time, the residues stays in the bottom. So the Lord has to stir up environments, situations where we get stirred, so our impurity can be filtered out for the sake of the gospel. We have moved many times. We were in Boston, we were in New York, now we were in New York. The Lord wants to empty us from vessel to vessel. There is nothing we should hold on to. We just say amen to the Lord. Oh, He wants our heart to be pure. Yeah, this is related to seeing God. Blessed are pure in heart. Oh, 2 Timothy 2:22, but flee youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A heart cannot stay pure for a long time. We need other saints so that we can pursue the Lord and flee other things and be purified. And he wants our heart to be loving. This love comes from a pure heart. Matthew 26:6 says, our heart, the spiritual eye. May the Lord give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so we can see. The God of this age is blinding the thoughts of man. Blinding. Blinding what? Blinding our mind. Our mind is a very important organ. It determines how you view the world and everything. But if our heart is enlightened, if our spirit is enlightened, we see clearly. Second Thessalonians 3:5. Having an outward form. And the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the endurance of Christ. We need to be directed. We love the Lord, and step by step, He's bringing us. He's directing us. So it's like a line where He's holding His part, and we can't drop our part and run away. He attracts us through the court of man. We need to be drawn by His love. It's like a chain. It's like a cuff. He holds us. He keeps us. He wants to gain a group of overcomers. May the Lord have mercy on us. He is God. He can judge us. He can blame us. But His love brought Him to be where we are and draw us exactly where we are. So to be sanctified and have that subjective experience. We are step by step being drawn, being saved by Him. Okay, as our heart is being established blameless in holiness by the continued renewing, He is greater than all things. He's greater. He sees our situations. So if we repent, we turn our heart towards the Lord, He will not blame us. And we can boldly come forward to Him. We have been washed by His blood, and our conscience has been sprinkled by His blood. Then we can come forward to the throne of grace with boldness. Okay, we're going to read point I together. As our heart is being established blameless in holiness by the continual renewing of the sanctifying spirit, we are becoming the new Jerusalem with the newness of the divine life and the holy city with the holiness of the divine nature. The consummated triune God wants to complete this work of sanctification in us. The last few minutes we are going to read.
God not only has made us holy in position by the redeeming blood of Christ to separate us unto himself in his judicial redemption, but also is sanctifying us in disposition by his own holy nature to saturate us with himself in his organic salvation. This is very clear. Not only positionally, this is subjective. Sanctify us subjectively. Hey, brothers, God's dispositional sanctification of our spirit, soul, and bodies to sunnize us divinely, make us sons of God that we may become the same as God in his life and in his nature, but not in his Godhead, so that we can be God's expression. God is sunnizing us, just like in the book of Romans. According to the flesh, the Lord Jesus is the offspring of David. He was resurrected designated the Son of God. Today, God is doing a work of sanctification in us. Or continue to be in the process of designation. We are all being sanized. We are all being designated. This is God's promise. We just need to cooperate with him. Point B, sisters, by sanctifying us, God transforms us in the essence of our spirit, soul, and body, making us holy like him in nature. In this way, he preserves our spirit, soul, and body, holy, complete. So here talk about quantitatively and qualitatively. First, brothers, quantitatively, God sanctifies us holy. Qualitatively, God preserves us complete. That is, he keeps our spirit, soul, and body perfect. Quantitatively speaking, he sanctifies holy. Qualitatively, God preserves us complete. Small point two, sisters. Although God preserves us, we need to take the responsibility, the initiative, to cooperate with his operation, to be preserved by keeping our spirit, soul, and body in the saturating of the Holy Spirit. Today, the genuine preservation is by being saturated by the Holy Spirit to sanctify us. Point C, together, in order to cooperate with God to preserve our spirit in sanctification, we must keep our spirit in a living condition by exercising our spirit. 3, 4, 5, 6. Keep our spirit, keep our soul, and keep our body. Let's read the small points. Point one, brothers, in order to preserve our spirit, we must keep our spirit living by exercising it to have fellowship with God. If we fail to exercise our spirit in this way, we will leave it in a deadened situation. First, we cannot be in a deadened situation. We need to turn to the Lord every morning to call on the Lord's name and exercise our spirit. If we feel deadened, it's like half dead, and our spirit is sick. We need to exercise our spirit and not be in a deadened condition. Small A, sisters, to rejoice, pray, and give thanks are to exercise our spirit. To preserve our spirit is, first of all, to exercise our spirit, to keep our spirit living, and to put it out of death. So in the morning, we need to sing the hymns or feel joy and enlivened. We'll call on the Lord's name, and we'll feel small bit brothers. We need to cooperate with the sanctifying God to be separated from a spirit-deadening situation. See, sisters, we must worship God, serve God, and fellowship with God in and with our spirit. Whatever we are, whatever we have, and whatever we do must be in our spirit. So not only need to be enlivened, we also need to serve God with our spirit in the newness of the spirit to serve and to worship. Small two brothers. In order to preserve our spirit, we need to keep it from all defilement and contamination. Our spirit can also be contaminated. There are times because of the idols and the evil things. This is 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and of spirit. Small three sisters, in order to preserve our spirit, we must exercise ourselves to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. Four, small four brothers, in order to preserve our spirit, we must take heed to our spirit, setting our mind on the spirit and caring for the rest in our spirit. This is to preserve our spirit and be sanctified. Point D, together, in order to cooperate with God, to preserve our soul in sanctification, we must clear the three main arteries of our psychological heart, the parts of our soul, our mind, emotion, and will. This is a very good utterance. We have a psychological heart, our mind, emotion, and will, the three main arteries. This is the main arteries. And the psychological heart has also three main arteries in our mind, emotion, and will. This can also be blocked. Small one brothers, in order for our soul to be sanctified, our mind must be renewed to be the mind of Christ. Our emotion must be touched and saturated with the love of Christ. Our will must be subdued by and infused with the resurrected Christ. And we must love the Lord with our whole being. Amen. Just now, we mentioned that we need to love the Lord with our whole heart, our whole being, whole strength. Sisters, too, the way to unclog the three main arteries of our psychological heart is to make a thorough confession to the Lord. We need to stay with the Lord for a period of time, asking Him to bring us fully into the light. In the light of what He exposes, we need to confess our defects, failures, defeats, mistakes, wrongdoings, and sins. When you know, then that your main arteries are clogged is really uncomfortable. The people who have gone through heart diseases, they know it's the same way. If our psychological heart has clogged, then we'll feel very uncomfortable. The Lord for us to come before Him and to have a thorough confession, which is to remove any clogs of the main arteries. And it takes time. So depending on how much clog we have, if we have like 70 or 80% clogged, we need to come to the Lord and to for a longer period of time. So it's possible that it can unclog and you'll feel very fresh and you will not have the sense of discomfort. Let's alternate A, B, C, D. Brothers, in order to unclog the artery of our mind, we need to confess everything that is sinful in our thoughts and in our way of thinking. Small B. In order to unclog the artery of our emotion, we need to confess the natural and even fleshy way that we have expressed our joy and sorrow, and also that in many cases, we hate what we should love and we love what we should hate. Small C. Brothers, in order to unclog the artery of our will, we need to confess the germs of rebellion in our will. Small d. If we take the time necessary to unclog the three main arteries of our psychological heart, we will have the sense that our entire being has become living and is in a very healthy condition. Amen. Yeah, we need to be fully enlivened. Eat together. In order to cooperate with God to preserve our body in sanctification, we must present our body to Him so that we may live a holy life for the church life. Practicing the body life in order to carry out God's perfect will. This is according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. To present our bodies in a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God. To be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that we may prove that what the will of God is. Small one, brothers, our fallen body, the flesh, is a meeting hall of Satan, sin, and death. But by Christ's redemption and in our regenerated spirit as the meeting hall of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, our body is a member of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to preserve our body to be the members of His body. And this body is the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, small two sisters, to preserve our bodies, to glorify God in our body. Three brothers, to preserve our body is to magnify Christ in our body. Four sisters, to preserve our body, we must not live according to our soul, the old man. Then the body of sin will lose its job and become unemployed. Hallelujah. Five brothers, to preserve our body, we must not present our body to anything that is sinful, but instead present ourselves as slaves to righteousness and our members as weapons of righteousness. Eight small points together. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Small b, that they do not know God is the basic reason that people indulge in the passion of lust. Seeing our body to glorify God. Six together. To preserve our body, we must buffet it and lead it as a slave to fulfill our holy purpose to become the holy city. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He's so rich. We need to experience this in the church life. May our heart be strengthened, be blameless without. Preserve our spirit, soul, and body, and to live before Him. Amen.